Good morning, everyone. Today's Sunday, and football is back. NFL Week 1 kicks off. This is the Logic Sports NFL Sunday podcast. I'm joined with my regular hosts, Nasir Subar and Dan Pleat. How are you guys doing on this fine football Sunday?
It is a beautiful football Sunday, man. I love it.
Let's get it. Football season, baby.
Well, we're already one game in the season. I know you guys are hyped about it as the defending champions, Philadelphia Eagles, beat the Atlanta Falcons 18-12. Julio Jones had 10 catches, 169 yards, was a standout for the Atlanta Falcons, while Jay Ajayi had a big second half with two touchdowns to lead the Eagles to victory over the Falcons. One thing that stood out to me was a lackluster offense on both sides, but most importantly, the Falcons' play calling. Do you think the Falcons' red zone struggles were more play calling or just the Eagles' defense being that good?
Personally, I think it was a combination of both. I think the Eagles had a strong goal line defense. We were able to hold strong. We did it last season when we played them in the playoffs, and that's kind of what held us to go forward. The last play of the game with Ronald Darby going up against Julio Jones and they throwing it up, that's a make-or-break ball right there, because Julio Jones is a premier athlete who can come down with plays like that and get both feet in. So for us to make that play, it helps. But I also think that for them to run the ball on fourth and goal against one of the best run defenses in the league, and for them to go for it like that, I think that wasn't smart. I think they need to rethink what they do going forward from this point.
So you kind of think it's like a mixture of both. You don't want to give anyone credit.
I think the defense is more dominant. That's, if I would have to pick a side, I'd go with the defense, because I think that they're the most dominant defense in the league.
Yeah, I think the defense played really well. Honestly, like you were talking about Darby. Darby played a really, really good game. He had that stop at the end. But I think once Kyle Shanahan left 2 years ago after that Super Bowl run, it kind of all started to go downhill. They're not a bad team, but I don't think Sarkisian calls the game as well as Shanahan does. I think Sarkisian's really got to change what he's doing, because last year Julio only had 3 touchdowns in the red zone. All year he only had 3 touchdowns. So, I mean, you really got to change that, because he's probably one of the best wide receivers, probably top 5, top 3 in the league. So, if he's only getting 3 touchdowns in the year, that's definitely not going to help your team at all.
That's their biggest problem, is getting him the ball to get it in the end zone. Yeah. Just get it in the end zone, period, because they can force feed him the ball all the way down the field. But when it comes to the end zone, when the space gets tight, they just can't seem to get him the ball.
Yeah, well, what I analyzed from that is I don't think you can not give the Eagles defense credit. That would be a little bit disrespectful. But the Atlanta play calling was really bad. But I think it was just better defense overall. They didn't really know what to do. Last year, they were in the same situation at the end of the game, and basically the same exact result happened. So I think Atlanta, you got to adjust. If you're coming down to the last play, last year you just threw a fade to Julio. So do you think throwing it to the other side of the field, the same exact play, is going to work? And especially on fourth down, you don't really want to throw it to the sideline. That's such a hard play to make when you only have one life left. But overall, I think the Eagles defense really stepped up. Their front 7 played amazing, even without Nigel Bradham in there. Nathan Gary stepped up. Kamu Grugier-Hill stepped up. And Ronald Darby had a big game. I know Julio had a big stat line, but most people can blame that on Jalen Mills. But overall, I think the Eagles defense won that battle. And the play calling was bad, but I think the ultimate X factor was the Eagles defense.
I agree. The Eagles played a really good game defensively, obviously, but I just don't see how you can move the ball so well and just get stopped every time. Like Julio Jones was just running up and down the field on us, and once you get to the red zone, you can't get on the ball. Like, if you can't get on the ball, go somewhere else. I barely saw him go to Sanu, Ridley, or try even run the ball. Like, they had their opportunities, and they really just couldn't execute. And I thought it was really bad on that offense.
So kind of bouncing off that, there's a lot of hype coming off of last year and still at the beginning of this year after the first game. Is it respectable to say that the Eagles are the best defense in the NFL?
Respectable, you could say that. It's definitely an argument, especially after that first week. I wouldn't say they were number one, though. I'd probably say they're top 5. That they have the pieces to be number one, but I think there are other defenses that we would have to talk about if we were really getting into number one.
Yeah, personally, I think we are number one defense. We always think that we can't be that team, that we're not the team to beat. But I feel like after us having the Super Bowl run, after look at the way we dominated last season against the Vikings in a semifinal to a Super Bowl. Like, if you can control a team like that in that situation, I can't see where you can't be seen as one of the best teams to be defensively. We're a great offense, but our defense is what holds us to games. The Atlanta Falcons, watch, next week they'll put up numbers against whatever team they play just because they're that dominant of a team. And because they do know how to move the ball, I just feel that we're a strong defense when it comes to breaking down from our defensive end with Brandon Graham. We got Bennett. We have so much depth through our lineup, which makes it crazy. And that's why I feel like we have the best team defensively in the league.
I just think there's other teams to talk about first. Like the Jaguars, I think last year proved that they're probably up there one or two. And then the Vikings, even though the Eagles beat them by a lot last year, they're still improving. They're still pretty young too, and I think that defense I could probably say is better. And then there's other ones like the Rams, who just upgraded a bunch of positions on their defense. They got Marcus Peters, they got Aqib Talib, they got Ndamukong Suh. I mean, I wouldn't say we're not number one, but I would definitely argue against it right now.
I think you could say they're number one, but in my opinion, they'll probably rank around two or three. I don't think the Jaguars are really considered a top defense. They had a great season last year. I mean, they're definitely up there amongst the top of the league, but being considered with the elite, I consider Minnesota, I think, number one. You have Philadelphia and the Rams. Even the Rams last year, without all these pieces, they were a dominant defense, and now you add Sue, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, they can really be dominant. But overall, the Eagles, they are probably the second-best defense, and it's mainly just because of that defensive line. That really makes your cornerbacks a lot better. Ronald Darby is a great corner, and you have great safeties, but when you have a defensive line that has fresh legs throughout all four quarters and they're forcing the ball out the quarterback's hands quick, it can really, you know, affect the team and make your cornerbacks play better because they don't have to cover guys that long. And if you watch the game, Matt Ryan, there's a lot of times he had to run out the pocket. And if you guys know Matt Ryan, he's a pocket passer and he can light you up from in the pocket. But the Eagles made him uncomfortable, and that really changed the game. So I think it really revolves around the front seven. I don't think you can say they're the best defense in the league, but they're definitely two or three of my list.
I think we definitely have to get to at least like week four or week five to start talking about who really is the best defense.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, as of right now, basing it off of last year and a combination of just watching that one game, I probably think that the Eagles are probably second. But there's a good chance that they can be first.
Yeah, they're up there. I love their defense. I think they have a lot of good, great players. But I just wouldn't say they're number one. I really do think that the Jaguars and the Rams and the Vikings have defenses you could probably say are better.
Well, every Sunday after we talk about our main topic of the day, which was just the Eagles and Falcons, I'm going to ask a question of the day to Dan and Nasir. And today's question today, since we're talking about the Eagles, we'll have to deal with the Eagles. And the question would be, before last season, who was the last team that the Eagles had a playoff victory against? And I could take your guys' answers now, and we'll get back to it at the end of the podcast. But I'll take Nas's answer first.
Put me on the spot. Our last playoff win?
Yeah, last playoff win before last season. Before the Super Bowl season, I should say.
I think I know it.
The last time we made
it. All right, let me hear your answer then, Dan.
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
All right, what about you?
The Cowboys, I'm going to go with, I can't remember. We didn't play, maybe the Packers.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me when I saw the answer. But then again, it didn't, because I kind of vaguely remember that game, looking back on it.
Crap, I can't even think. I'm just going to have to say, I'm shooting this one out here. I'm just going to say the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers. I mean, it's an NFC team, so you got a chance.
Such a random team. It's one out of 15, I got, or 14.
Yeah.
But.
Well, moving on a little bit, we're going to go to the NFL Game of the Week, which features the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers were a playoff team last year. Dallas missed the playoffs last year. And earlier this week, me and Dan were talking about just the game as a whole, and I told him, don't be surprised if Dallas has a top 10 defense. And he kind of looked at me like, really? And I said, yeah. And also, don't be surprised if we hold the Carolina Panthers to under 20 points. And I say we because I am a Cowboys fan, and I do have that confidence in us today. But I'm going to ask you two guys, do you think Dallas can hold Carolina to under 20 points today?
Nah, I don't think so. I think the Cowboys, I don't think they have a bad defense. I just see that Carolina has a really good offense. I think Cam has showed that he could be that guy. And now he has a lot more around him. He has McCaffrey from the backfield. He has Anderson backing up McCaffrey. He's got a decent line. He's got Funchess. They just drafted that guy Moore. They have Olsen. I mean, they have so many pieces.
Keep in mind, Olsen got hurt, so
he's still playing. They said he was.
But you don't know his production.
How well he'll feel.
I think we can't hold him to under 20 points just because if you look at Carolina, their offense, they obviously have a lot of talent, but they seem like they're one of the most inconsistent teams. Like, you can watch this Carolina team, and some weeks they come out and they seem like they're one of the best teams in the NFL. And there's other times they come out and they struggle. And I think starting out week one, they can really struggle, especially against our defense. I think a lot of people don't realize how good our defense can be. If Sean Lee stays healthy, Dallas can have a top 10 defense. We have a good linebacking core with him and Jalen Smith. And, of course, you have DeMarcus Lawrence on the defensive line who can pass rush. And I think Randy Gregory will have an impact on today's game. I'm not sure if he'll get a sack, but he can put some pressure on Cam Newton. And don't sleep on Tadobi Awuzie. Not a lot of people know his name, but I promise you they will by the end of this year.
See, but the thing is about the Cowboys and going up against Cam, any team that really plays against Cam, and because he's a mobile quarterback and he's a big guy, so yeah, taking him down is a hard thing. So for the Cowboys to honestly hold him under 20, they're going to have a good press on the outside, the ends. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to have a good impact, like you said. Randy Gregory, he could, depending on what he can do against the tackle. Because if he can bull rush him and close, and if they can both be able to bull rush him and close the gap, forcing him to go to the middle where your best player, like you said, Sean Lee, is coming up, that's where it's going to be the most impactful thing. Because they still have speed with McCaffrey going on the outside. Funchess is a huge target. And you said Awuzie, as I watched in the past couple years as us being Eagles fan, I've seen Awuzie does have the talent. It's just going up against a 6'4", 6'5", wide receiver that can jump bigger, that's bigger than you can jump with you. That's going to make it harder. As far as them going under 20, I'm sorry, but I don't think this is going to happen. Just because I think Cam's excited for the season. I think he'll be ready. I think it might have to be a shootout between the two, but I think your offense will be the thing that keeps you guys in the game as far as your running game. Because if you guys can move the ball but still control the ball and take it out of Cam's hands, that's going to be the
part. That's also where I think it can help us hold him under 20 points. If we really have Ezekiel Elliott just carry the ball 20, 25 times a game and really just eat that clock, we take it 7-8 minutes off the clock on a possession and scoring a touchdown, that can really just keep Cam Newton off the field and neutralize the Panthers offense, maybe get them out of a rhythm if they're in a rhythm. But I really think it's a really good possibility that we can hold them to under 20 points and become a top 10 defense this year.
I think that your the Cowboys linebackers are really really great players. They got Jalen Smith, they got Sean Lee, and they got the new guy Vander Esch that they drafted first round. I think they're great, so I think McCaffrey and Anderson probably won't be doing much.
You think it relies on the receiving core?
But I think it will very much rely on the receiving core. I saw a lot from Funchess last year that showed he could be that guy. So maybe without Kelvin Benjamin there the whole year, he could step up. Greg Olsen's a premier player, and then they just picked up Torrey Smith, a Super Bowl winner from last year, and I saw a lot from DJ Moore at Maryland last year. I thought he was a really good player. I thought I saw something from him in the preseason. He made a few good plays. And I think if Cam really is really slinging the ball today, I think he's gonna be doing well and getting it to his receivers in the end zone.
So I have a question for you. How do you feel about your safety core as a Dallas Cowboy fan? Because I think Heath is a little shaky, in my opinion.
I mean, overall, our safeties aren't a safety core I think can really change the game. They're guys who can come up and hit, like Jeff Heath and Kevon Frazier. These are two guys who aren't really known for their coverage, but if our corners come down and they have good coverage and let's say a receiver breaks loose, I know those guys are going to be there to make the tackle, or I know those guys are going to come up and start to run and stop the run. But I think these guys need to stay healthy. Right now we only have one healthy safety, and that's going to be a big factor coming into today. So like, we'll see if Frazier plays. I know he was hurt. We'll see if he plays and how he does play. But the safeties is really going to determine this team. And you could tell because there's a report early that came out that Seattle declined a trade from Dallas that offered a second-round pick for Earl Thomas. So Dallas definitely knows that the safety position is probably the biggest need on the team. Xavier Woods is actually a pretty good player. He's hurt right now, so we need someone to step in there today, and we'll find out how the safeties look today against Cam Newton.
New season.
Yeah, it's a new season. But
I just feel like since last year when I saw that game against the Chargers when Keenan Allen had three touchdowns, yeah. I just feel like they're not reliable against a good offense. And I think the Panthers do have a good offense, so it would be interesting to see if they actually would hold them under 20, because then I would really have to look at the Cowboys' defense and have to worry about them a lot more. But I just don't see it happening, because I feel like Funchess is going to run up and down the field on them when he gets the ball in his hands.
All right, well, I want to ask you, Dan, your prediction for this game.
Do you want score also?
Yeah, score and winner.
I'm going to go with the Panthers winning, and I'll say it will be close. I'm going to say 24-17.
How do you think the Panthers win this game? What do they have to do to focus on winning this game?
I mean, probably just worry about Zeke a lot. They got the linebackers to do it in Thomas Davis and Kuechly. They got a good D-line. And if they worry about Zeke and pretty much just hold him, since he obviously is their best player, then I think that they can win this game.
How about you,
Thomas? Final score, I'm going to go with 21-10. I'm going with Carolina Panthers for this game. I think that Cam's going to score two touchdowns. They're going to have a rushing one with McCaffrey. But I think for the Cowboys to so much to stay in this game is, even if they do, even though I'm giving them an 11-point drop-off, I think that he's right. I think that they're going to have to focus on somehow feeding Zeke the ball, because if they don't, I'm not sure what Allen Hurns can do as a new receiver. You just lost Jason Witten, who was Dak Prescott's go-to guy if he really needed it. And then Cole Beasley's still there, but we'll see how it goes for him as a new, going to have to be the number one target for this team.
Well, I'm going to take this one in a low-scoring, close game, but I think the Panthers will win 14-13, strictly because I think Dallas's offense hasn't had that much firepower right now. And for a team that doesn't have a lot of firepower, for them to come out week one and actually do something, it's going to be hard. So these guys are going to need time to play with each other. I think Zeke will have a decent game. He'll probably get into the end zone and score. But overall, I don't know how the rest of the offense will. And not having Dan Bailey, I think, will come back and hurt Dallas today. We might miss a field goal, especially on the road.
What was the reason for that? Do you know?
The reason was because we had this one kicker named Brett Maier, and he's about 27. He's been in the NFL, like in the preseason, past couple years, but he got cut by a few teams, and he looked pretty good in the preseason this year. And Dan Bailey struggled last year, and he struggled in the preseason this year, and he has almost $3.5 million coming into him this year as a kicker. So I think Dallas just said it's better off if we cut Dan Bailey. I don't agree with the move, but
one of the best kickers in NFL history.
Yeah, he is one of the best kickers, wow. One of the most accurate, yeah. At least. So you can't really argue with that.
Second most accurate.
But let's go into the night game, the Sunday night football game, as the Green Bay Packers will take on the Chicago Bears. Aaron Rodgers makes his return to the field after injury last year that caused the Packers to miss the playoffs. They're a completely different team without him. They're going to play the rival Bears. Rodgers just got paid. What do you guys think you can expect from Aaron Rodgers tonight?
I expect greatness. I expect him to come back slinging the ball. He's got a new target in Jimmy Graham. He's got Davante Adams still. He's got Randall Cobb. He's got all these threats and all these weapons that he can use to his advantage. He is going against a formidable opponent because this is a rivalry, and they added Khalil Mack to the defensive side, and they have good linebackers and Danny Trevathan. But I think that the Lions are going to protect him better this year, and they're going to really want to focus because they know he's the key to making the playoffs. Because you know with Aaron Rodgers, whenever you have him as your quarterback, there's a chance at a Super Bowl every season. It's because he's that talented. And now they've given him even more threats with Jimmy. Jimmy Graham is a perfect red zone target for him. See how he was used for Drew Brees? That's a quarterback that loves to throw the ball. He was kind of used in Seattle with Russ, but that's not really like his type of scheme fit. But I think this area is going to be really good for him, and I think he goes for at least 3 touchdowns tonight.
I would probably agree with that. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a very good game, but I don't think it's going to be as good as some people think. I know he just got paid, but when you think about it, the defense just has it has those pieces that could really surprise Aaron Rodgers. I feel like Aaron Rodgers got paid, so he's relaxed now. He said it before, R-E-L-A-X.
And what did he do that year?
I'm not saying he's not relaxed, but that was when he had to make a playoff push. This is week one. is against a team that he knows he beat by 21 points last year when he played. So I think he's going to be sleeping a little bit. I think he's still going to put up 21, 28 points. But I think the Bears are going to come out and play better
than him. Okay, let me ask you this, though. Since he's coming off an injury, you don't think he's eager to get back on the field? How do you feel about Carson Wentz? That's our quarterback. You don't think he wants to play? You don't think he's going to come out trying to go hard? Like, he'll probably focus a little bit on his knee, as I'm talking about Carson Wentz. And maybe Rodgers might favor his shoulder a little bit. But I think he's going to come out fired up. I think he's more ready for this game than anybody else on this team, just because he missed. He saw what his team couldn't do when he wasn't there. So him coming back in the role to have a shot to start a new season and to put up what he needs to do, I think he'll be ready and excited.
I think there's no way Rodgers can come out here and struggle. Just all the stuff that's going on in Green Bay, this is their 100th season that they're going to kick off tonight. And they have a lot of story quarterbacks like Bart Starr, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers is on that list. And for him to be the one that gets a nod to start on the 100th game of this storied franchise's, you know, career or whatever you want to determine it, I think Rodgers has the buzz in the stadium is going to be crazy. And I think Rodgers is going to come out. And the Bears defense could be solid, but I think he's going to torch them just because it's week one. And maybe later on in the season, the Bears can get his number. But I think week one, coming off of injury and everything that's at stake just in Green Bay's franchise as a whole, I think Rodgers comes out tonight and dominates on national TV.
It's obviously hard to say Rodgers isn't going to come out and dominate the team he plays against. But I feel like since it's only week one, he lays a little low in the beginning of the season sometimes. You saw, like we talked about, the relaxed speech. He was behind, and he had played that whole season. And he still made a comeback. So I think he might start off the season bad again and then make a push at the end and make the playoffs like he does.
Personally, I think, though, I know we're focusing on Green Bay's offense versus the Bears' defense, but I think we also have to incorporate the Green Bay's defense versus the Bears' offense, because I feel like Green Bay has good pieces. They got Clayton.
Yeah, Green Bay's defense is good.
I think they
improved a lot.
I think Clay Matthews is going to come back strong. Blake Martinez is already a good middle linebacker. They've got Ha Ha Clinton Dixon as their backbone, their safety, and he's a key guy. He was a top 100 player last year. So I feel like that defense can, I'm not going to say dominate, because I don't think they will dominate the Bears' offense, because I think the Bears' offense has potential, but I think they can hold their own and get a couple of stops where you're putting the ball back in Aaron Rodgers' hand. So I think the consistency of the ball being in his hand and him getting, because once Aaron Rodgers gets in a rhythm, there's no stopping him. So I just feel like if Green Bay's defense has an impact on this game, that's going to really help Aaron Rodgers soothe in and relax into the game plan.
I just don't think that there's, I've seen so much out of the Bears defense that shows me that they can't really do it when it comes down to the passing game. They have Ha Ha Clinton Dix, but who else do they have in their secondary? They have Kentrell.
They have a lot of young corners that they drafted two young corners this year. They got one last year, and they also added Mo Wilkerson, which a lot of people are not talking about. That helps their pass rush to go next to Mike Daniels, who's one of the best defensive tackles in the league.
It does, but if Trubisky comes out and he has his weapons in Robinson, Burton, this new guy Gabriel.
That's all new people, though, that he's still trying to connect with.
Yeah, but that's just like how Wentz had to adjust and actually play with Jeffrey, and he had to learn how to play with Aguilar now that he didn't have a mental issue. Like, I think Trubisky could come out and play really well with Robinson, because like you said about Rodgers, Robinson's coming off a season-ending injury from last year. He's here like Jeffrey was last year for the Eagles. He's here to prove himself, to have that great year and really show that he's still a premier player in this league.
I think
Burton, just like him, wants to show that he's one of those players too. He showed something in the Eagles run last year, but I think he came into the NFL to really prove that he can be a number one guy, because he doesn't seem to drop the ball that much. And he's a heck of a special teams player if you need him. So, I mean, I thought this was a great pickup. I think Trubisky's really going to love that safety blanket for him.
All right, but getting back to your point about him coming back off an injury, I feel like comparing a wide receiver coming back off an injury versus a quarterback coming off an injury are kind of two different things, because a quarterback can dominate the whole field and spread it out, because the wide receiver, they can still dominate, as you saw against the Eagles versus the Falcons, with Julio Jones dominating 10 receptions, 160-plus yards. I think that's domination. But he didn't score a touchdown. If you don't score a touchdown from your position, I mean, you can get as much yards as you want, but if it's not really producing points, even if it's for like a running back or someone else producing points, I don't think that really makes a difference.
That's why I think that Robinson will do well though, because Julio is probably better than Robinson, obviously. Mm. And he played a better defense. And now that you got Robinson playing a defense who you say is good and I say is bad, I would say that Robinson will probably do... He's not going to do as much as Julio because Julio really dominated that game. But I think he'll get the stats. I think he'll probably get a touchdown, possibly two. And I think that Trubisky's really going to have fun playing with him and throwing him the ball. Because you can kind of... That's one of the guys you can kind of just throw up and let him get it. He's tall. He's versatile. And he's a great player. I love that pickup for the Bears.
All right, so that kind of brings me in. Since we're talking about the Bears offense, who do you think will have a better game, Mitchell Trubisky or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, well, that's...
Well, you said that the Packers' defense is worse than the Bears' defense.
And that Trubisky has the weapons.
But you can't compare Rodgers to Trubisky.
For one game, you can. They're playing against each other, so they're considered even.
They are, but...
They're all NFL players.
In this one game, I would still say Rodgers will do better. I think that the Bears defense is what would end up winning them the game if they were to. I think that Rodgers is gonna play better, but in the end, I think the defenses will both have to show which one's better for a winner to come out.
All right, do you think Trubisky can at least compete with Rodgers, hang in there with him?
Yeah, I've been preaching how he has so much around him. So I think that with that help around him now and a new head coach, I think that he could thrive in this offense. I don't think that he'll do better than Rodgers tonight, but I think he can compete, you know.
Do you think he can compete with Rodgers this year?
I think maybe further down in his career, or at least maybe further down in the season, I think. But I think this first game, I'm going to have to say it's going to be Rodgers. I just think, wait, where is this game played? Is this in?
It's in Green Bay.
It's in Green Bay. It's in Lambeau Field. Coming off an injury, first game of the season, they're hyped up. Aaron Rodgers is hyped up. Lambeau's a hard place to play in. So I think Trubisky might struggle a little bit, but I think he'll put up points. I just think it'll be in Rodgers' favor because all the elements just go towards him.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be hard for Trubisky, but that's what he's got to show himself if he really wants to be a great quarterback in this league. And this is definitely the game to do it.
It's an opportunity.
So who do you have coming out on top tonight?
I got Green Bay 28, the Bears 14.
All right. I mean, I'm probably gonna get hated on for this, but I'm gonna go with the Bears. I think the Bears can get it done. I think they'll probably win a very close one, and I'll say it's 21-18, right around there.
21-18. I'm gonna go Green Bay in a blowout. I think it's gonna be 34-14. I think just this game, Green Bay is just coming out, man, and they missed the playoffs last year. You're one of the best teams in the league. Every year, someone's picking you to go to the Super Bowl. And last year, just for them, they were pretty good last year. Then Rodgers goes down, and their season just got thrown away. And I think that all sits with them. Like, they have a bad feeling in their stomach. They're going to come out and really prove something, that they're the best team in their division, because the Vikings were getting a lot of the talk now. Oh, the Vikings, even with Case Keenum, they went 13-3. Now they have Kirk Cousins, you know, they can win a Super Bowl. You know, Rodgers is coming to shut that down. So I think the Packers come out and dominate today.
I just think that the reason I'm saying the Bears is because I think that the Packers are actually going farther down in their progression, because they were doing really well. They come off a Super Bowl, but now that they won't get rid of their head coach and McCarthy, I don't think McCarthy's doing them any favors anymore. I think that he's really keeping them like low profile and not really telling them how it is, and that they really have to get these wins. But I don't, like, he did win a Super Bowl, but I don't think that he's that guy anymore. I think that was his high point, and now he's really getting to his low point. Even with that great quarterback, he has to use him better, because there's no way that that you shouldn't make the playoffs with your team.
I don't think Mike McCarthy isn't a good coach. Like, when you think about it, if you look at that Packers team, their roster isn't all that. Like, you take away Aaron Rodgers, I really didn't expect them to make the playoffs. Their defense, like you said earlier, their defense is shaky. Yeah, they got better, but their defense isn't, I want to say, a top half defense in the NFL, like in the top 16. So, you having Aaron Rodgers, you have a top 5 quarterback in the league, you're going to make the playoffs every year. You can just look at Brady and Drew Brees and Wentz just off of last year. You guys make the playoffs. You make that leap when you have a good quarterback. So, I mean, as long as McCarthy has Rodgers, then they'll be good. I think it comes kind of up a level to the front office. You have to get some talent on that defense. They're drafting young talent, and they got Mo Wilkerson, but they need a little bit more. They need that proven name, that big star defender. And I feel like a guy like Khalil Mack would have made that impact for the Packers.
Yeah, they were looking at him, too.
They need to find someone kind of like him that can impact the game to really make this team better.
They just want to be able to produce players like they did with Ha Clinton Dix coming out of college. He was already considered to be a good player, but like they're going off of what they think that their potential is. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to get young players so that they can pay them cheap, but they can still play and be talented and be productive. I get what you're saying, because they do need that big name. Every defense has big names in their defense. That's what makes them premier, and that's what puts them that step over other teams. That's what gets them that late. Because their defense isn't a defense that will carry them to win a game. Like the Eagles game, their defense carried them to that win.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers rely heavily on Rodgers, and that's why I think that they will be able, because whenever he's in the game, they will be able to have a shot at any team in the league. Any team, Patriots, Eagles, Vikings, whatever team you want to put him against. If you put Aaron Rodgers on that offense, he has a shot to win the game. So I just think it's going to come down to
the defense really is going to have to show, the defense really going to have to show that they can play against the good teams. And I think that this is the first test for them. I think the Bears are a good team, and nobody should sleep on them this year. And I think if the Packers' defense comes out flat against them, that's going to be a real issue for them. Because they have holes. The defense really can't have that many holes, and I think they got a few holes that they really need to fill. And if they're not filled, then they're really going to struggle against the good offenses. And they're in a division that has some really good offenses. The Vikings just got Kirk Cousins. Stafford's always solid. And like we said, the Bears tonight. So I think they're really going to have to show something, that defense, for me to really think that they're going to do something this year.
Yeah, I agree. Well, to move on to our last segment, I'm going to introduce a new segment that we'll be doing every Sunday, and it's called Easy Pickings. So basically, you guys probably heard of it, something like it, called the Eliminator Challenge. Me and my guys will pick one game every week that we think is a lock to win no matter what, and now we can only use that team to win once. And we're going to keep track, and we'll see who has the best record at the end of the year, and we'll crown them the Easy Pickings champion. And I'll go first and start off with my game. I'm going to go Minnesota Vikings over the San Francisco 49ers. And I'll go with that just because I look at Garoppolo, and yeah, he had that great season, and he's undefeated and all. But by the time he came to San Francisco, no one was worried about the Niners, and no one was really focused on him. But now it's week one. The Vikings know the Niners can be a threat to a playoff spot this year. And I think this defense is going to come out, show Jimmy Garoppolo something he's really never seen, and just going to hand him his first loss. And I think the Vikings can come out and kind of dominate this game. Not blow them out, but really show their presence against the Niners. So that's why I'm going to pick them for my easy pickings.
I like that pick. I really do. But at the same time, you got to think about Garoppolo played the Jaguars last year and lit them up. There is that possibility that your pick isn't so easy,
but yeah, that's probably a
good pick. That's probably a good pick, honestly. My pick is the Lions over the Jets. The Jets, I have no confidence in. I don't think they're going to do that well again this year. I think Darnold will show something like Wentz did his first year, like Trubisky did his first year, because he's one of those early quarterback picks that could do well. But I just think he's on a team that is not great right now, and they really need to improve a lot of places. And it's mostly because the Jets have a bad team, but at the same time, the Lions play well early in the regular season. Stafford's probably going to come out and throw a good game, and Tate and Jones will really help him out with that. So, and then they just got a LeGarrette Blount, who really helps open up the field with his powerful running game. So I think the Lions will take this one pretty easy.
So my prediction is the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to say 21-7. They play the Dolphins. I'm going to go 24-10. I think that the Titans have the capability to be a good offense this year. They got Marcus Mariota returning at QB. They got Derrick Henry, who's entering the starting role, who I think is going to have a 1,000-yard season this year.
Ooh,
but
like to hear that.
It's a hard prediction, but I think it's going to be a close one because they still do have a solid running game with Deion Lewis as his backup. Yeah. So I think them splitting carries will be close, but I still think Derrick Henry can get the job done. And the loss of Ndamukong Suh from the Dolphins this season is going to make a hard impact because I think there's no one that can stop Derrick Henry now in that middle. And they also lost Jarvis Landry, too. That's their biggest threat on offense. Now it's down to King and Drake. And Ryan Tannehill is going to be coming back, hoping to make a run, but no one's really sure what he can do. He's been hurt, so it's just like he's kind of inconsistent. So that's my prediction for the week.
See, so you're saying it's going to be the Titans' offense that really gets it done? I feel like their defense is really overlooked.
The defense is good. Yeah, they're going to dominate the Dolphins' offense.
Yeah, I just think the Dolphins don't have anything solid. They have nothing that they can be comfortable about. Like they have King and Drake, but other than that, because the Titans do have a good Casey as their front line. Yeah, I think that's going to be hard to get by, and I think he's going to shut down Drake. I'm not sure if he's going to like completely stop him like the Broncos did to Zeke last year.
Yeah.
What he did to them last year, I don't think that's going to happen because I think that was rare, especially for Zeke. But I think that they'll get stops consistently, that the ball will consistently be in Mariota's hands, given opportunities to score.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good pick. I kind of like both of y'all picks because they're not really like the premier teams that you're gonna pick, you know, every week. So like them getting crossed off the board that you guys can't use again, I think goes really well. Unlike me, I got Minnesota who can do that. But let's go back before we end today's podcast to the question of the day. And the question was, before last season, who was the Eagles' last playoff victory against? And Nasir said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Dan said the Dallas Cowboys, but the correct answer was the Minnesota Vikings in 2008.
Oh,
Donovan McNabb was that quarterback.
I couldn't think because the only thing I could remember was the Arizona Cardinals game that we lost.
I
was like, who did we play to get to him? And I know it wasn't Green Bay because we lost to Green Bay with Mike Vick.
I was thinking of the time we played the Cowboys the last game of the season and beat them, but then we actually lost to them. That was a game in the playoffs that I thought we had won that game. We had won.
Well, yeah, now looking at it, I don't know how Minnesota made the playoffs. They had Tavares Jackson as their quarterback. So the Vikings just be throwing out some elite quarterbacks against you guys in the playoffs. Yeah. Got Tavares Jackson, Case Keenum. I wonder who's next. So, I like that game. I remember that game a little bit. I remember that season. That was the year the Pittsburgh Steelers won the championship, I'm pretty sure, against the Arizona Cardinals, and the Eagles did lose to the Cardinals that year. So, that will wrap up today's Sunday podcast. We enjoyed talking to you about the NFL. We'll talk to you guys Thursday for the Logic Sports podcast. And next Sunday, we'll be here talking football with you guys. I'll see you guys next week.
All right, go Birds.
Go Birds.